two are better than one, for they have good reward for their labor. For if they fall, one will lift up his companion. But woe to him who is alone when he falls, for he has no one to help him up. This is a pretty popular passage about companionship. It's talking about the blessing of having someone there for us when we are going through a hard time, when we're in a situation where it seems like things are hopeless and someone is there to lift us up. And if we've lived very long on this earth, we've come to the realization of how true this verse is. Indeed, the person who has no one to help him when he's down is a sad state to be in. And so, in order to have this type of relationship, you have to have certain qualities. And that's what we're going to be studying this evening. What are the qualities we need in order to be that type of friend who's going to help someone up? Last time I was up here, I talked a lot about David and some of the struggles he went through. And to see what type of friend we need to be, we're going to study David's best friend. Turn with me to 1 Samuel 18. 1 Samuel 18 is going to describe a very close relationship here. 1 Samuel 18 and verse 1. Now when he had finished speaking to Saul, the soul of Jonathan was knit to the soul of David, and Jonathan loved him as his own soul. Saul took him that day and would not let him go home to his father's house anymore. Then Jonathan and David made a covenant because he loved him as his own soul. And Jonathan took off the robe that was on him and gave it to David with his armor, even to his sword and his bow and his belt. So David went out wherever Saul sent him and behaved wisely. And Saul sent him over the men of war, and he was accepted in the sight of all the people and also in the sight of Saul's servants. If we were able to interview David today, and we were to ask him, how was it that you were able to get through all the trials that you went through? I believe he would give us probably about two answers. One would obviously be God. That's obvious. But I believe the second answer he would give would be his best friend. It says, Jonathan loved David as his own soul. Can you imagine that? Have you ever loved anybody as much as you loved yourself? He says, the soul of Jonathan was knit to the soul of David. I'm sure we probably have some women here that like to knit. My mom's a knitter. And that's what makes me think when I read this. It's almost like when you take a piece of yarn and you intertwine that yarn to make like a sweater or a blanket. That's like David and Jonathan. Their hearts were so intertwined that they were one person. And did you notice that he uses that phrase twice here, loved him as his own soul? He does that in verse 1 and verse 3. And so, you're going to be impressed with the fact that it was not always easy for Jonathan to love David. We're about to look at some circumstances where it would have been very hard for Jonathan to love David like this. But before we do that, I want us to look at a time where they probably first met. Turn back to chapter 16 real quick. Chapter 16, and we'll begin reading verse 19. This is the chapter where Samuel is going to Jesse, and he's looking for a new king because Saul has gone bonkers. And so now they need someone to take his place. And in verse 19, it says, therefore Saul sent messengers to Jesse and said, send me your son David, who is with the sheep. And Jesse took a donkey loaded with bread, a skin of wine, and a young goat, and sent them by his son David to Saul. So David came to Saul and stood before him, and he loved him greatly, and he became his armor bearer. Then Saul sent to Jesse, saying, please let David stand before me, for he has found favor in my sight. And so it was, whenever the Spirit from God was upon Saul, that David would take a harp and play it with his hand. Then Saul would become refreshed and well, and the distressing spirit would depart from him. So Saul was in a very stressful state at this point. God sent a distressful spirit on him. And so he needed someone to come and play the harp for him, someone to play music to kind of relax him. I guess it's kind of like music therapy. And it doesn't mention Jonathan here, but I think it's pretty safe to say it's during this time when David and Jonathan became close. Because Jonathan was the son of King Saul. And so David and Jonathan would have been together during this time, probably at his house a lot. And so they probably became very close during this time. And so let's look at some qualities of Jonathan. One quality that really sticks out to me is Jonathan was an unselfish friend. Go back to chapter 18, and we're going to look at verse 6. It says, "Now it happened as they were coming home, when David was returning from the slaughter of the Philistine, that the women had come out of all the cities of Israel, singing and dancing to meet King Saul with tambourines, with joy, and with musical instruments. So the women sang as they danced and said, 'Saul has slain his thousands and David his 10,000s.'" All right, let's stop there. So in chapter 17, David just killed this huge giant, as we all know as Goliath. And so now David is getting a lot of praise for this. He's getting a lot of attention. And what's so impressive to me is it still says that Jonathan loved David as much as he loved himself. Can you think about how easy it would be for Jonathan to become envious of David? I mean, this shepherd boy comes out of nowhere, and now he's getting all this attention, and now he's going to be the next king. And, you know, the tradition of kings is usually the son takes his father's place. So Jonathan, you know, traditionally should take Saul's place, but now David is going to be taking his place. But yet there's no indication that Jonathan became jealous of David. Now, contrast that with Saul. Look at the next verse. In verse 8, it says, "And Saul was very angry, and the saying displeased him. And he said, 'They have ascribed to David 10,000s, and to me they have ascribed only thousands. Now what more can he have but the kingdom?' So Saul eyed David from that day forward. And it happened on the next day that the distressing spirit from God came upon Saul, and he prophesied inside the house. So David played music with his hand, as at other times, but there was a spear in Saul's hand. And Saul cast a spear, for he said, 'I will pin David to the wall.' But David escaped his presence twice. Now Saul was afraid of David because the Lord was with him, but he had departed from Saul. Therefore Saul removed him from his presence and made him his captain over 1,000, and he went out and came in before the people. And David behaved wisely in all his ways, and the Lord was with him. Therefore when Saul saw that he behaved very wisely, he was afraid of him." All right, so you see the contrast here? Jonathan loves David as much as he loves himself. But here Saul becomes bitter, he becomes envious, he becomes angry at David, because David is receiving all this attention. And Saul just becomes jealous. Now I hope you caught in chapter 16 that it said Saul loved David. I hope you saw that, because this is a different Saul here. Once Saul became envious, he didn't love David anymore. So you might think about, are you more like Saul or are you more like Jonathan? How do you do when people or your friends start receiving praise? Do you begin to get envious about that? Or what about if your friend enjoys success? Like, let's say you're single and you have a friend that just got engaged. Now, do you rejoice because they got engaged, or are you depressed because you're not engaged? That's a big temptation for people who are single. Or what about, are there times where you might be in a tight money situation, and then you see your friend get this big promotion? You get envious because you're not getting that promotion. Are you happy because they're enjoying success? Now, there's these variety of different reasons why we often get envious. But there's one thing about envy, is that it will destroy your relationships. That's what happened here with Saul and David. Saul loved David at first, when he was playing the harp for him. And now once David starts getting popular, he turns his back on him. Proverbs 14, it says, "A sound heart is life to the body, but envy is rottenness to the bones." So not only will envy destroy your relationships, envy will destroy you. Envy is going to destroy you spiritually. And this might even be making the point that envy may even affect you physically. I mean, envy is just horrible in every way. But Jonathan was not that type. It didn't matter if David was receiving praise. Jonathan still loved him as he loved his own soul. Another quality of Jonathan is that he was a loyal friend. Look at chapter 19. Chapter 19, beginning in verse 1. It says, "Now Saul spoke to Jonathan, his son, and to all his servants, that they should kill David. But Jonathan, his Saul's son, delighted greatly in David. So Jonathan told David, saying, 'My father seeks Saul to kill you. Therefore, please be on your guard until morning, and stay in a secret place and hide. And I will go out and stand beside my father in the field where you are, and I will speak with my father about you. Then what I observe, I will tell you.' Thus Jonathan spoke well of David to Saul his father, and said to him, 'Let not the king sin against his servant, against David, because he has not sinned against you, and because his works have been very good toward you. For he took his life in his hands and killed the Philistine, and the Lord brought about a great deliverance for all Israel. You saw it and rejoiced. Why then will you sin against innocent blood to kill David without a cause?' So Saul heeded the voice of Jonathan, and Saul swore, 'As the Lord lives, he shall not be killed.'" All right, so here we have a situation where Saul and his servants are going behind David's back, and they're planning to kill him. But yet Jonathan is the only one who is willing to stick up for him. Jonathan is the only one to risk his own neck, his own reputation, and he stuck up for David. I think it's interesting. You know, one thing I've realized about some of the people here at this congregation is that there's a lot of people here that have parents that are not Christians. And I think it's encouraging that those people are still staying faithful. Jonathan is the same situation right now. Jonathan's father is an unbeliever. He fell away. He is not serving God. Yet Jonathan here is still taking the initiative and acting different. He sticks up for David when nobody else would. In Proverbs 18, verse 24, it says, "A man who has friends must himself be friendly, but there is a friend who sticks closer than a brother." Does that not describe Jonathan here? Jonathan is sticking closer to David than his brothers are. In fact, in 1 Samuel 17, his own brothers rebuke him for going out and seeing the action with the Philistines. And so this verse is true for David because he's, in fact, closer to Jonathan than he is his own brothers. One real test of friendship is how you act when your friend is not around. I'm sure we've all had friends that act like friends when we're around them, but then when we're away, like, they start talking behind our back. I had a friend like that who lived in my neighborhood. He would be nice to me when I was around him, but then he would, like, go behind my back and start talking bad things about me. True friends act like friends if you're there or not. In Proverbs 16, verse 28, it says, "A perverse man sows strife, and a whisper separates the best of friends." One way to destroy your friendships is to go behind their back and gossip about them. Gossip will kill your relationships with people. And it says it separates the best of friends. And so we need to be like Jonathan. Whether our friend is there or not, we're still going to be their friend. We're going to act like their friend. We're going to stick up for them when they're not with us. And we're not going to gossip. We're not going to talk behind their back. We need to be loyal like Jonathan was. Another quality of Jonathan is that he was a caring friend. Look at chapter 20, beginning in verse 1. "Then David fled from Naoth in Ramah and went out and said to Jonathan, 'What have I done? What is my iniquity and what is my sin before your father that he seeks my life?' So Jonathan said to him, 'By no means, you shall not die. Indeed, my father will do nothing, either great or small, without first telling me. And why should my father hide this thing from me? It is not so.' Then David took an oath again and said, 'Your father certainly knows that I have found favor in your eyes, And he has said, do not let Jonathan know this, lest he be grieved. But truly as the Lord lives, and as your soul lives, there is but a step between me and death. So Jonathan said to David, whatever you yourself desire, I will do it for you. So David here is in a stressful situation. Again, he's fleeing from Saul. Saul has tried to kill him. And so David is in one of those situations where he feels like the whole world is after him. Yet who is the one person who is there by David's side during this time? One thing about Jonathan is that he was there for David during the most difficult of times. Have you ever had friends that they hang out with you a lot when things are going well and you're experiencing success? But then like once you go through a very difficult time, like they try to avoid you, like they want nothing to do with you. It's like it stresses them out so much that they don't have to deal with your situation. Jonathan was the type of friend that he was going to be with you during the good times and the bad. And Proverbs 17:17 says, a friend loves at all times, and a brother is born for adversity. We need to be the type of friends that we're going to be with them when things are going well and when things are not going well for them. A lot of times, I've had people in the past, like, they like to talk about themselves a lot, but then they don't want nothing to do with your situation and with your difficulties. We need to be the type of friends that we're going to care enough about them, that we're going to go through stress with them, we're going to cry with them, and we're going to reach out to them when they're going through a stressful time. Jonathan was that type of friend. And another quality of Jonathan is that he was a spiritually minded friend, and this is the last quality we'll look at. Turn with me to chapter 23. Chapter 23, David's still on the run here. He's running in the wilderness, and Saul and his whole army is after him. In chapter 23 and verse 15, it says, so David saw that Saul had come out to seek his life, and David was in the wilderness of Ziph in a forest. Then Jonathan, Saul's son, arose and went to David in the woods and strengthened his hand in God. And he said to him, do not fear, for the hand of Saul my father shall not find you. You shall be king over Israel, and I shall be next to you. Even my father Saul knows that. So the two of them made a covenant before the Lord, and David stayed in the woods, and Jonathan went to his own house. So Jonathan was the type of friend that he helped David grow closer to God. Jonathan was not only a loyal friend, he was there for David in the difficult times, but he did more than just sit by his side. He strengthened his hand in God. What a beautiful phrase that is. The greatest friend that you can be to someone is someone that helps them grow closer to God. In Proverbs 27:17, it says, as iron sharpens iron, so a man sharpens the countenance of his friend. You know, it's fine to have relationships where we have some common interests like sports or music, but the greatest relationships you're going to have with people is one that is built in the foundation of growing closer to God. The reason why Jonathan was such a good friend to David, the reason why he had these qualities is because he himself was seeking after God. That's why he had these qualities. And so we need to be striving as much as we can to be talking to our friends about spiritual things. It's fine to talk about the weather. It's fine to talk about sports. But we need to take advantage of the relationships that we have with people, with Christians, and build each other up and grow closer to God. If you see someone struggling spiritually, and you see someone discouraged, we need to be like Jonathan. And we go and we seek them out. I mean, Jonathan was back in Jerusalem, and he goes and he finds David in the wilderness. I mean, Saul, he couldn't even find him at this point, but Jonathan goes and searches for him and finds him. I wouldn't be here today if I didn't have friends that helped me grow out of my sin. If I didn't have friends reach out to me when I was down and struggling spiritually, there's no way I'd be here today. And that was the case with David. And so you can imagine, once Jonathan died, later on in this book, Jonathan ends up getting killed in battle against the Philistines. Jonathan was David's best friend. Can you imagine how hard that would be? In fact, it shows us in 2 Samuel 1. If you would turn there with me, 2 Samuel 1. Beginning in verse 25. It says, "How the mighty have fallen in the midst of the battle. Jonathan was slain in your high places. I am distressed for you, my brother Jonathan. You have been very pleasant to me. Your love to me was wonderful, surpassing the love of women. How the mighty have fallen and the weapons of war perished." So David was in deep mourning at this point. He was distressed because he lost his best friend. And I think I need to bring this up just because of the society we live in. But we often see people take this verse and say, "Oh, David and Jonathan had a homosexual relationship." I've read that in a few different places. But just look at the immediate verse here. How did Jonathan view David? He says, "I am distressed for you, my brother Jonathan." Jonathan viewed David as a brother, not as a boyfriend. That's not how he viewed Jonathan. It's sad that in our society, that males cannot have a close relationship without people saying, "Oh, they must be homosexuals." That's a sad state for our country if we're in that point. But again, Jonathan loved David as his own soul. That was more than just saying, "I care about you, I love you." Jonathan was there for David through the hardest of times. There would not be a David if there wasn't a Jonathan. And so, we need to think about, are you that type of friend to yours? Obviously, we need to be seeking these type of friends. But the point of this lesson is for you to start being that friend. Are you a loyal friend? Are you a caring friend? Are you a spiritually minded friend? It's people like Jonathan that are going to be the most missed when they're gone. We need to be striving to be that type of friend. I'd like to end in John 15 real quick. John chapter 15. John 15 and verse 12. "This is my commandment, that you love one another as I have loved you. Greater love has no one than this, than to lay down one's life for his friends. You are my friends if you do whatever I command you. No longer do I call you servants, for a servant does not know what his master is doing. But I have called you friends, for all things that I heard from my Father, I have made known to you." So Jesus makes a statement that the greatest thing we can do for our friends is lay our lives down for them. That's the greatest act we can do for somebody, is to actually give our life for them. And that's why Jesus is the best friend we could possibly have. Jesus was our best friend while we were his enemies. The moment Jesus came on this earth, the time where he's born in a manger, to the time where he is with his disciples and he's washing their feet, Jesus gave his life for us. He dedicated his life to loving us as he loved his own soul. And he did that greatest act in giving his life for us. And what a blessing it is that we can be Jesus' friend. He says, "You are my friends if you do whatever I command you." You're going to have friends in your life. You're going to have good friends in this life. But in the end, they're not going to be reliable as Jesus is for us. And so why would we not want to be friends with him? If you've not dedicated your life to Jesus, you're missing out on the greatest friend you could possibly have. As the song says, what a privilege it is to carry everything to God in prayer. We're missing out on so much when Jesus is not our friend. And so if you have not taken that first step and been crucified with him in baptism, we encourage you to do that. He's the greatest friend you can have. And we'll get to enjoy eternity with him and the rest of our friends like Jonathan if we do his will. If you're subject to invitation, please come forward as we stand and sing.